This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and we begin with the war on terror with three major stories today. First of all, the debate over the proposed Islamic Cultural Center / mosque near Ground Zero is heating up even more today following some comments unearthed from a number of years ago from Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, who was the lead imam on this project. He's also currently on a tour of the Middle East, courtesy of the U.S. State Department, which means your tax dollars. Public officials ranging from New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg to many in the State Department and others in the Obama administration claim that the imam is committed to building bridges and overcoming differences between Islam and the West. But according to audio discovered of the imam speaking back in 2005, he has a very different idea than most in the United States about what it will take to bridge that divide. First of all, in a statement from 5 years ago, the imam says that the U.S. has killed many more innocents than Al-Qaeda.
We tend to forget in the West that the United States has more Muslim blood on its hands than Al-Qaeda has on its hands of innocent non-Muslims.
Most Americans would probably disagree with that rather strongly. So what examples does the imam have of this? Well, U.N. sanctions against Iran due to Saddam Hussein's ongoing defiance of no-fly zones, and many UN resolutions regarding his pursuit of weapons of mass destruction.
You may remember that the U.S.-led sanction against Iraq led to the death of over 500,000 Iraqi children. This has been documented by the United Nations. And when Madeleine Albright, who has become a friend of mine over the last couple of years, when she was Secretary of State and was asked whether this was worth it, said it was worth it.
So what's the key to bridging our two very different ideologies and two very different cultures? Well, according to the head imam of this major new Islamic cultural center planned for the shadow of Ground Zero, he says America has to account for its evil.
What complicates the discussion intra-Islamically is the fact that the West has not been cognizant and has not addressed the issues of its own contribution to much injustice in the Arab and Muslim world. It's a difficult subject to discuss with Western audiences, but it's one that must be pointed out and must be raised.
Elsewhere in the war on terror, as we reported last week, U.S. combat forces have left Iraq. 50,000 U.S. troops remain, though. Speaking to veterans today, Vice President Joe Biden says that just because our combat mission has ended in Iraq does not mean our commitment there has ended.
Drawing down our troops in Iraq does not mean we are disengaging from Iraq. In fact, quite the opposite is true. We're in the process and following on President Bush's proposal for a long-term relationship.
So what kind of Iraq have we left the Iraqis, and how well are they capable of governing and securing themselves? For answers to those questions, please head to worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org, and hear my conversation with Dr. Waleed Faris, a Middle East and terrorism expert. He will also discuss why the upcoming Middle East summit here in Washington is much less about the Middle East and more about building a regional consensus against a nuclear-armed Iran. Also at that website today, worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org, religious persecution in Afghanistan. For almost 9 years now, Americans have sacrificed blood and treasure there to crush terrorist organizations and free the Afghan people of an oppressive religious theocracy. Unfortunately, though, ever since May, President Hamid Karzai, in an effort to try to win over some moderate elements of the Taliban, has unleashed a scathing and brutal crackdown on Christian converts in the country. My conversation with Mindy Bells of World Magazine sheds a very disturbing light on what our supposed allies in Afghanistan are doing to those who have converted to the Christian faith. On the domestic side today, the debate continues over whether or not to allow some of the 2001 and 2003 Bush tax cuts to expire. Speaking today on MSNBC, former New Jersey Governor Kristi Whitman says that allowing any of this to expire during a time when we're seeing very little economic progress would be a really big mistake.
The problem is that during those 10 years, nothing was done to reduce spending in anticipation. And that's something that we have got to get at. But right now, with the kind of message that increasing those taxes would send, particularly on the small, mid-sized business owners, I think could really harm what little economic stimulus we're seeing. seeing and regrowth that we're seeing.
And finally, on the domestic front today, a U.S. District Court federal judge has issued a preliminary injunction stopping federal funding of human embryonic stem cell research, which is a knockdown to the Obama administration's new guidelines on the issue that were issued last year. The court ruled in favor of a suit filed in June by researchers who said human embryonic stem cell research involves the destruction of human embryos. Judge Royce Lamberth granted the injunction after finding that the lawsuit would likely succeed because the guidelines violated the law banning the use of federal funds to destroy human embryos. In a 15-page ruling, Lamberth says, quote, embryonic stem cell research is clearly research in which an embryo is destroyed. The Obama administration could appeal the decision or try to rewrite the guidelines to comply with the law. Early indications suggest they will appeal this decision.